10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Modo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Modo is U.S. owned and operated. Modo, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Modo.us.
Modo Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
This is The Big Breakdown, a long look back at some of the biggest stories we're covering for you at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Jill Duggar is a married adult woman with her own children when she finally had to sit down and explain to a therapist what her childhood actually looked like. Not the version on television, the actual version. She described needing her father's permission to come home, being forbidden from entering the family compound without his great approval. Remember the umbrellas we've talked about? Jim Bob's umbrella. It'd be funny when he dies if they bury him with a giant umbrella shoved up his ass. Her husband, Derek Dillard, has publicly alleged that Jim Bob negotiated their television contracts, controlled the payments, and collected money earned by his adult married children without their knowledge or meaningful consent. You know, the Christian thing to do. These are the allegations anyway. Dillard has made these claims repeatedly and publicly. They have not been adjudicated in court, but nobody has sued him for making them either. These are the claims that are being made by her. We're not making these claims. These are the claims she's making. We're just talking about them. Jill spent years in therapy after leaving. She wrote a memoir about it. She called the environment she grew up in cult-like. She said those exact words. Millions of people watched this family on television for a decade and called it wholesome family entertainment. Started with a newspaper photo. Jim Bob Duggar ran for U.S. Senate in Arkansas in 2002, lost horribly, failed like, oh my God. Pulled just over 20,000 votes against an incumbent, but a picture of the family at the polling place ran to the New York Times. From there, Ladies Home Journal, Parents Magazine, a Discovery Health special in 2004 called 14 Children and Pregnant Again. They didn't figure out rhyming yet. The family had been promised their faith would be central to how they were portrayed, and they agreed to cameras. The franchise grew fast. 17 kids and counting became 19 kids and counting. And by 2014, Jill Duggar's wedding special drew 4.4 million viewers, TLC's highest rated program. The Duggars were not just a television show. They were a brand, a proof of concept, living evidence that IBLP was a way of life that produced happy, faithful, functional families. But there is a totally different story beneath the surface, beneath the cameras, beneath reality television, which, if you've not caught on by now, is pretty much anything but reality. Your thoughts as we go through this in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We'd love for you to weigh in. Every element of that image was managed, approved, and financially controlled, allegedly by Jim Bob. Look at what was being broadcast and understand what you were seeing.
Michelle Duggar's soft. belittling voice, the one that became a kind of cultural punchline, the perpetual sweetness of it, the almost childlike register.
Isn't a quirk. Former IVLP members have described it specifically. It's a trained presentation. The yielding effect of a woman who has fully internalized the doctrine of submission. It's also a tone which you will understand. And I'm no way saying that this is what happened. I just have no idea, but I'm not accusing anyone of it. But it's also a typical affect that you see of someone who has suffered childhood S abuse.
A lot of them talk in baby girl tone.
Without even knowing it well into adulthood. It's not any sort of, you know, discount or trying to be negative or hurtful to anybody who suffered that. That's a horrible thing to go through. But statistically and psychologically speaking, you will find this to be a pattern and a trend and something that our minds do as a protection method. Now, that's not to say, again, I'm not saying that that happened to her whatsoever. But it is an interesting affect to have, because one can get to that place of submission, if you will, in more ways than one. Horrible S abuse in childhood, or, you know, a religion that just takes it out of you in other ways. It's interesting. It's interesting that that ends up being the affect when you remove control and autonomy and all of that from a human being. Specifically, I guess, you know, a female, that they you get this sort of, It's interesting. Again, I have no idea what her past is or what she may have gone through in life, if anything at all, or if
that affect is just 100% a show that she's putting on because that's how IBLP taught it,
or if that's just kind of what the human brain does once you have essentially brainwashed somebody into the submission level that IBLP allegedly does. I don't know. That's my opinion. Michelle wasn't performing for television. She was performing it because that's what the system produced. And television just put a camera on it and called it charming. The courtship rules worked the same way. Adult children, grown men and women, needed Jim Bob's approval before pursuing a relationship. No unchaperoned contact. Side hugs, until you're engaged. Every step mediated by the father, whose authority in IBLP doctrine is an extension of God's own. This is how they think. This was filmed and broadcast and received by millions of viewers as sweet, old-fashioned, refreshingly innocent. It's funny. I remember people watching this show, and I would just shake my head like, you fools. You fools. You think this is some sort of like old-fashioned, oh, Jim Bob dandy, wonderful way of living? I mean, come on. Come on. The daughters cooked, cleaned, homeschooled younger siblings, managed the household, you know, like children do. Oh, wait, they're supposed to be children being raised by parents, but when you shit out 19 kids, it makes it a little difficult to effectively parent that many people at once. But it's what the Lord wants. On camera, joyful, as far as anyone watching could tell, the show didn't have a segment called Unpaid Labor is Spiritual Formation. Wouldn't that have been good? And now for the Unpaid Labor is Spiritual Formation Hour. It didn't need one. The cameras were just rolling while it happened, and we were told this is how they do it. It's their religion, so we better respect it and not say anything bad. Don't say anything bad. Don't hurt anybody's feelings. Don't call out the insanity that's directly in front of you. Because you mix the word God in there, suddenly, oh, off limits. Don't. and the money. Derek Dillard has publicly alleged that Jim Bob negotiated with TLC directly, kept control of the contracts, and managed payments to adult children who had no meaningful say in the arrangements. Jill's memoir, Counting the Costs, published in 2023, describes the financial structure and the control apparatus in terms that are not ambiguous at all. In her account, adult children living in the family compound, dependent on Jim Bob for housing, for income, and for the basic structures of their daily lives, well into adulthood, well into their marriages, they seemed happy. They seemed to have chose this. Did they, though? When you're raised from birth inside a system that teaches obedience and godliness and independence is witchcraft, and standing up to your father, who apparently is like right next in line to have a conversation with a good old Sky Daddy, speak out, say, this is, I'd like my fair share of witchcraft. You don't experience the cage as a cage. You experience it as protection. The difference between the two requires a framework you were specifically never given. So it's important to understand that when you look at this family, especially the kids, these poor brainwashed children, because let's be honest, that's essentially what they were, in my opinion. Now let's talk about TLC. A blogger writing in 2007, identified only as Alice, documented publicly that staff on Oprah Winfrey's production company had been told that Josh Duggar was a child. This was online, findable, a year before 19 Kids and Counting premiered in its final form. The information was there for anyone who looked. TLC aired the show until May of 2015. When the story broke about Josh's ways with kids, broke publicly in May of 2015, TLC decided to pull the reruns. In July of 2015, they canceled 19 Kids and Counting officially. And then the same year, within months, they greenlit Counting On, a spinoff featuring the rest of the Duggar children, because why not profit from other people's suffering and hell? Especially when you're presenting it not in a way that exposes bad people, but, you know, kind of does it in a warm, fuzzy sort of way. The same family, the same compound, the same Jim Bob hovering at the edges of every frame, minus the one member who had become impossible to broadcast around. They didn't leave. They just restructured. The statement TLC released when they canceled 19 Kids called the situation heartbreaking. And they renewed the franchise. Oh, money. Oh, they were 19 Kids and Counting all the way to the bank. Let's see here. We got... Okay, get rid of the one kid. It'll be slightly cheaper. Although I think, I'm going to guess, if Jim Bob was good at his negotiating, I would hope he maybe negotiated for more, even with one gone. But who knows? Counting On ran for 11 seasons. It ended in June of 2021, not because anything changed about the network's relationship with the family, but because Josh Duggar was arrested on federal child charges, and the situation became impossible to broadcast around again. Another cancellation, another statement about how saddened and troubled the network was, like a network has feelings. Two cancellations, two statements of sadness, one continuous revenue stream in between. The children who eventually pushed back against all this did so at a significant personal cost. Jill and Derek began distancing themselves from the family around 2017. They described publicly in interviews losing control over where they could live and what they could accept while they were a married couple with their own children, not teenagers, adults, describing a father who controlled their geography and their income. Ginger Duggar's memoir, Becoming Free Indeed, published in 2023, describes her realization that the IBLP teaching she had publicly promoted on television and interviews to millions of viewers were, in her words, hurtful and untrue. She writes that she knew she needed to speak publicly because she had promoted teaching she now believed were damaging. Amy Duggar, Jim Bob's niece, has been saying versions of this for years before either of her cousins found their voices. She was largely dismissed, treated as the difficult one, the outsider, the relative who didn't understand what the family was really about. The children who stayed have remained largely silent because a lot of them are still kids. The children who left have described in varying degrees of detail a system of shame and financial dependency that didn't end when they turned 18, didn't end when they married, and didn't end until they physically removed themselves from the compound and found therapists who could help them figure out what normal looked like. In May of 2015, the world learned Josh Duggar had five girls as a teenager, four of them his own sisters. In July of 2015, TLC canceled 19 Kids and Counting. Also in 2015, same year, same network. Within months of the cancellation, TLC greenlit Counting On, that spinoff featuring the remaining Duggar children. The information suggesting something was wrong with his family predated the show's final form. The brand survived the scandal that should have ended it. The cameras kept rolling. The money kept moving. And when the dust settled, there was a new show with the same family and a different name. That's not an allegation. That's the sequence of documented decisions. Jim Bob Duggar has run for political office multiple times and lost. He finished third in a 2021 Senate primary with 15% of the vote while his son was awaiting federal trial. He and Michelle remain in their compound in Arkansas. Their relationship with Jill requires, by her own account, strict boundaries for her own mental health. The money generated by a decade of television, how it was distributed, who received what, whether the adults who earned it ever saw it fairly, has never been publicly accounted for. Just a lot of allegations from Jim Bob's own kids, who have to some degree estranged themselves from their cult-like family. Nobody made these children sign anything. Nobody needed to. The cameras just made it profitable for someone else. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. There's a lot to get through in this series that we're going to go through this week as we continue to break down the Duggar family structure and the IBLP. If you want to get a crash course in all this, press subscribe. You don't miss any of it, and give us your thoughts in the comments section. We'll continue it there. Until then, my name is Tony Bruschi. We will talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now, and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Jim Bob Duggar needed someone to handle a problem. His 14-year-old son had been doing rather inappropriate things with his daughters. Jim Bob knew. He'd known since March of 2002, when one of the girls told him what was happening. He had a son who was committing crimes against children who slept under his own roof. And he needed to decide what to do about it. He did not call the police. He called the church elders. Because can't we all think of all the great times where these sort of incidents occurred and you call the church elders and everything gets solved? Oh, wait, that never happens anywhere, ever. The elders met. They prayed. They reached a decision. The decision was a treatment program. The IBLP facility in Little Rock, Arkansas. Hard physical labor, Bible study. Not a licensed ex-offender treatment program, not a therapist, not anyone with a clinical credential of any kind. Drywall, mudding, taping, hammering, nails, work in scripture.
For 4 months, Joshy's going to go hang drywall. He's going to go be a good servant of the Lord, and he's going to come back. And everything's going to be just fine because Jim Bob says so, and Jim Bob's my umbrella.
Work and scripture for 4 months.
And Joshy's coming home. Gonna bake him his favorite meal.
And then Jim Bob took his son to a friend. The company you keep is interesting here, too. You know, like, let me ask you this. You know, when you look at interesting characters and the company they keep, and it turns out some of your buddies end up being horrible predators. But happen to have an Arkansas State Trooper badge at the moment in time. Arkansas State Trooper Joseph Hutchins. Personal acquaintance. Someone Jim Bob trusted to handle this the right way. Now, I'm not saying Jim Bob knew anything about the crimes that he committed, that this trooper has committed. We'll get to that in a moment. But of all the people in the world to bring your child to for a strict talking to, this is the guy you get. Kind of a scared straight sort of thing. Except the guy that's scaring him straight is also violating people. Outside the formal system, between people who understood each other, Hutchins gave Josh a stern talking. Filed nothing. Reported nothing to the Arkansas Child Abuse Hotline, which state law requires him to do as a mandated reporter. But, you know, when you're part of the IBLP, that umbrella, that trumps everything. Because when you got that direct connection to God through Gothard, who needs the law, right? Nothing. Then in 2012, Joseph Hutchins was convicted of child charges of content, if you will. I feel stupid having to word things these sort of ways, but we do so we can still present them to you and not be throttled by the gods at YouTube who can't decipher between a news story and actual harmful material. So we have to word things certain ways to get the point across without it saying, oh, people don't like to feel uncomfortable. So, play along with me on the wording. Joseph Hutchins, the guy that gave the stern talking to Joshy about, he's serving 56 years in prison. He'll probably die there. But it's a good thing he got to have that stern talk with Josh about doing the right thing and child CSAM material, which he's incidentally Josh gets arrested for later in life. Some may call that a coincidence. Some might call it a pattern. That's who Jim Bob chose. That's who he trusted with his daughters. Understand what this story is and isn't. This is not a story about a father who made a desperate panic mistake and an impossible situation. It's a story about a series of deliberate choices, each one made with the specific intention of keeping the abuse inside the family and the church, away from any authority that might have done something about it. Every institution that failed those girls made a choice to do so. And those choices have names attached to them. And we're going to talk about every single one of them, no matter how much Michelle likes to run. You can't tape here. You a bad person. You have to go away now. Enabling abuse is a crime. The chickens are coming home to roost. Go back to 2002. Jim Bob learns in March that Josh has been doing things with his sisters while they sleep. Court documents confirm Jim Bob told this to Springdale police himself in 2006. He was not unaware. He was not confused about what was happening. His son was doing this to his own daughters, and he knew it back in March of 2002, allegedly. His first call is to church elders. That's not incidental. As established in part one of our series here, IBLP doctrine specifically positions family authority and church authority above civil institutions, which is interesting because it's actually illegal. You can't have something that is like above the law that supersedes actual laws. Reporting to police is not the first option in this framework. And that's the problem of the IBLP. They put these things down as options to their members, as if they really were, without consequence. It's like your first option. Well, if you don't report it, you may face serious legal charges. It's just, no, under God, you're doing the right thing. You got the choice of what you want to do. For the Duggars, it was never the option at all. What Jim Bob learned and what Bobby Holt would later testify to under oath is that the abuse had been going on since Josh was approximately 12 years old. The youngest victim was 5. Josh confessed to doing this to a 5-year-old girl during Bible time. That detail came out in open court from a witness on the stand, fighting through tears to say it out loud. A 5-year-old during Bible time. Josh is sent to the IBLP facility in March of 2003. He returns in July. He walks back into the house where his sisters live. No civil authority has been told anything. No mandated reporter has filed a thing. No one outside the family and the church knows what Josh did, and that's by design and choice. And in 2004, the family gets their first television special. 14 children and pregnant again. They weren't great on titles at TLC at that time. Discovery Health Channel is actually where it aired. The wholesome, faithful, overflowing family. Kind of a carnival freak show. The parents who credit God with every blessing. The children who smile on cue and speak softly and seem to every viewer watching to be exactly what they appear to be. Except for those of us who are watching it going, oh God, what the hell is going on when the cameras aren't rolling? And then you say it out loud to folks who are really into it, going, how could you say that about that? Not everything is horrible. No, just people who hide behind religion and God when they're doing horrible shit. I'm not saying anything bad about religion or God. I'm saying about people who use that as a crutch to enable horrible behavior and who tell people to shut up when they're calling it out because they're too brainwashed, too afraid, too whatever to actually speak up for themselves because they've been told 1,000 times you can't do that. It's not your job. You shouldn't be doing that. That's actually against religion. You're going against God if you speak up because that's exactly what the IBLP did to these people. They trained them. They groomed them to think that if you speak up, you are going against God. We know what's best for you. The law doesn't. We do. And because we got God, we're not telling you to shut up and take it, but we're telling you it's been handled. So go along your merry way. Inside that image, girls who had been damaged by their brother, a son who had never received legitimate treatment, a father who had made a series of decisions to protect the family's reputation, and the direct expense of the daughter's safety, all of it buried, all of it smiling for the camera. Now the Hutchins meeting. Jim Bob brings Josh to Hutchins in 2003, not as a formal police report, as an informal arrangement between a father and a friend with a badge. It's like Maury, except it's not who's the father. It's more of a scared straight type episode without the scared straight part. Hutchins later disputed exactly what was told, saying through an attorney that he was informed of only a single incident that would have and it would have acted differently had he known the full scope. Jim Bob claimed Hutchins was told everything. I'm claiming I don't believe either of them. But that's my opinion. What is not disputed, Hutchins filed nothing, called no one. And I suppose if you're dealing in that sort of material yourself, you may not necessarily want any sort of attention coming your way or your name connected to anything legal that direction, you know, should the tides change.
Boys will be boys.
No, no. And there is such things as boys will be boys and girls will be girls and predators will be predators. And this is that. Didn't contact any hotlines or law enforcement, which he's required to do under law as a mandatory reporter. Boom. You know, and by the way, I think this is an interesting thing to look into, and I think I will, as this is kind of coming to mind. Educators are required under law to report as well. The education and the teaching that was going on in that house. Michelle was doing that. If she had knowledge of this and didn't report it, I wonder if she would be a mandatory reporter. We should look into that. We will. And that may be the extent of the law breaking right there. And maybe it's not even a law being broke. I don't know the answer to it, but I think it's a fair thing. If you're well aware that somebody is doing these sort of things, illegal, to other people, and you are a mandatory reporter, well, guess what? Your day is coming too. Here's the legal consequence of not filing. The Arkansas statute of limitations for child S abuse requires filing within 3 years of the conduct being reported to law enforcement. The clock started from that 2003 contact with Hutchins. So basically it's beat the clock, and they knew how to work the system and beat the clock. So there's no charges that I can come down from it anymore. But how Christian? How Christian? To be aware of these things, possibly be a mandated reporter. I mean, Hutchins is. I do question if the family would be being the educator at that moment in time. So by the time any formal investigation ever begins, the window is closed. The timing is what it is. In December of 2006, an anonymous woman emailed Harpo Studios before the Duggar family's scheduled appearance on the Oprah Winfrey Show. Oprah's producers notified the Department of Human Services and canceled the appearance. Springdale police opened an investigation. They interviewed Jim Bob, Michelle, Josh, and the victims. Jim Bob initially refused to bring Josh in for questioning and sought legal counsel. Multiple attorneys reportedly declined to take the case. Police concluded statute of limitations expired December 20, 2006. No charges possible. And then nothing happened for nearly a decade. In Touch Weekly obtained the police report through a Freedom of Information Act request. On May 21st of 2015, they published the story. The world learned what the Duggar family had buried for 13 years. On that same day, May 21st, 2015, an Arkansas judge ordered the original police report destroyed and the public record expunged. The stated basis was protecting the unidentified victim, who was still a minor at the time. The real reason, you know, God. Protecting the victims. Really? Because I think it's almost like re-victimizing the victims when you erase records of their abuse. Wouldn't that be more of what that is? I mean, you can spin it this way. I'm protecting you. If you look at the look of him, he's like, I'm protecting you. Most people who are protecting other people aren't openly saying it. They're just doing it because it's their job. The order and the publication happened the same day. That's a documented fact. what to make of it is a conclusion you can draw yourself. I just gave you mine. Days after the story broke, Jim, Bob, and Michelle sat down with Megyn Kelly on Fox News. They described Josh as a young boy who made mistakes.
They said he received counseling.
Meaning he went and hung drywall.
They said he was changed. They said they never felt their other children were in danger after he returned home.
Well, that's great you feel that way. They are. Nobody really gives a shit how you feel when facts are at play. But, you know, in the IBLP, in that world,
feelings,
delusions dressed up as feelings take precedent. Their daughters, Jill and Jessa, two of Josh's victims, were separately interviewed and said their parents had handled the situation appropriately. Oh, and by the way, they were children still.
Yeah.
They were told, this is how you're going to handle this interview. They were told, this is how you're going to handle this as an adult. This is how you're going to handle life. And if you don't, we're going to take away your inheritance. We're going to restrict access to this family. We're going to basically shun you. Allegedly. According to the writings of the girls in their own tell-all books exposing their family. They were raised inside a system that taught their father's judgment was an extension of God's authority. They had no other measuring stick. Those are the interviews. Now we get to the pre-trial hearing. Josh Duggar was arrested in April of 2021 on federal child charges. Before the trial could begin, the prosecution needed a judge to rule on whether Josh's prior conduct with his sisters was admissible as evidence. That required a pre-trial evidentiary hearing, and it required witnesses. Jim and Bobby Holt were among the Duggars' closest friends. Jim Holt was an ordained minister and church elder. Bobby was a close family friend, not a church elder. She testified because women were not permitted to hold that role in the church. Yes, because the IBLP oppresses women. Jim Bob had confided in both of them about Josh's abuse in 2003, telling them because Josh had been courting their daughter, and they needed to know why that relationship had to end. Bobby Holt took the stand at that pre-trial hearing. Fighting through tears, she testified in explicit detail about what Josh had confessed to. The girls, their ages, the youngest victim. She said, you don't forget something like that. It completely impacted our families. Good old Jim Bob was called. Under oath in a federal proceeding about the events he personally reported to Springdale Police in 2006, about the conversations he had in 2003, about the abuse of his daughters that he had known about since March of 2002. And you know what he said? He couldn't remember. Well, how convenient. He said he did not recall the details, because that seems like something a father would forget, wouldn't it? You know, I got so many things on my plate. My son doing that to my daughters, clueless. No recollection. This is why he is such a charlatan man of God. In my opinion. When it comes time to hold your feet to the fire, hold your children to the fire for their actions. You don't remember. You don't recall. Bull fucking shit. Bullshit. Then he has the audacity to run for Congress under, like, I'm a family man. I'm the moral authority. You're a fucking monster is what you are, in my opinion. But that's my opinion. Said he couldn't remember the specifics of what his son had confessed to. The federal judge presiding over the case, Judge Timothy Brooks, revealed Jim Bob's testimony and put his conclusion on the public record in writing. He found Jim Bob's testimony, in his words, not credible. He wrote that Jim Bob's selective lapse in memory was not believable and that he was obviously reluctant to testify against his son. A federal judge called him not credible in writing on the record. Jim Bob was not called to testify at the trial itself. The judge ruled his testimony wasn't necessary because Bobby Holtz was sufficient. So what you have is a man who claimed amnesia at a pretrial hearing, got called not credible by a federal judge, and then didn't have to take the stand again. The prosecution had spent 15 hours trying to serve him subpoenas before he appeared at the hearing. 15 hours. Their court filings documented the process server's efforts in detail. Josh was never charged for the 2002 and 2003 incidents. The statute of limitations held. The girls, his sisters, a babysitter never saw a legal consequence brought specifically for what was done to them. Jill Duggar has said publicly she was prepared to testify at the 2021 trial about being Josh's victim. Her testimony wasn't needed for the conviction. She was ready to give it anyway. The system that protected Josh in 2002 worked completely. Church authority over civil law. A corrupt officer who filed nothing, a legal window that closed before investigators arrived, a family that circled the wagons inward and stayed there. The church elders met. They prayed. They made the decision. The girls went back to sleeping in the same house as the boy who hurt them because the men in the house decided that was sufficient. Not the police, not a licensed professional, not the law, the men. Or the man of the house. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. I'd love for you to weigh in. I gotta take a breath because this case gets me so upset. The depravity of it, the lying, the standing behind something that can be good, like religion, and bastardizing it to such an extreme, while the reality of it is these people are so far from godly or moral or ethical. It's stunning, really. They're the loudest in the room to say how much they're followers of God and Christ, and we believe this, and morals. And in reality, they are so far this way. It is stunning. It just the mental gymnastics that people go through. It is stunning. Anyone who's been a victim of religious abuse, religiosity, and things of that nature knows what I'm talking about. There's so many people that are in it that don't see it. And there's so many people, too, and I think this is important, because there's a lot of people that are in stable religious organizations that go to bat for fuckers like this. Because they look at it, well, my church doesn't do that. And then they assume all of them don't. It's high time that more of you folks, the folks who are in a healthy religious organization, they do exist. I'm not saying everyone is bad by any means, but it's high time the ones that are in a good place where this sort of stuff isn't happening, come out and start calling these people out for what they are and stop pretending you're all birds of the same feather. Because you know what happens if you don't? You all become birds of the same feather. And if you're sick of being judged for people like this and you're not part of that, then start standing up for the victims and stop hiding behind the men and the theology and whatever bullshit you've been told over and over throughout your life. There is goodness in these religions, not IBLP. I'll say it's a fucking cult, in my opinion. But there is goodness in many organizations and many churches. Start standing apart from people like this and stop backing them up and stop placating to their bullshit.
Well, that's their church. We should
we shouldn't respect them. Why? Because respect is earned, and that's the last thing that these fuckers have ever done. Your thoughts in the comments section on Substack and YouTube. We will continue the conversation there. Until then, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now, and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
My fellow Americans, this July, we're celebrating America's birthday at Modo Casino by giving away $1,776,000 in prizes. And one lucky winner is going to take home $1,000,000 SC. Happy 250th birthday, America. You're welcome. Download Modo Casino today.
Download the Modo Casino app today. Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Modo, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Modo, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Modo Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Modo Casino.
Download the Modo Casino app today.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Modo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Modo is U.S. owned and operated. Modo, it's American made, because that's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Modo.us.
Modo Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
My fellow Americans, this July, we're celebrating America's birthday at Modo Casino by giving away $1,776,000 in prizes. And one lucky winner is going to take home $1 million SC. Happy 250th birthday, America. You're welcome. Download Modo Casino today.
Download the Modo Casino app today. Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
My fellow Americans, this July, we're celebrating America's birthday at Modo Casino by giving away $1,776,000 in prizes. And one lucky winner is going to take home $1 million SC. Happy 250th birthday, America. You're welcome. Download Modo Casino today.
Download the Modo Casino app today.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Modo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Modo is U.S. owned and operated. Modo, it's American made, because that's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Modo.us.
Modo Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino.